You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. We set up the show or opened the show with this idea of torture and interrogation techniques in Iraq. Is it the policy of the United States to use aggressive techniques, or is it, as the Bush administration would have us believe, the responsibility of some rogue interrogators who did things on their own against U.S. policy? Well, some more pieces of that puzzle are coming together in Congress today, and we are 4 years after the scandal at Abu Ghraib broke, but still we're trying to figure out what the truth of the matter is. A probe by the Senate Armed Services Committee has found that senior Pentagon lawyers were active in developing harsh interrogation techniques used in the systematic torture of detainees in American prisons at Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib. Joining us now is Mark Mazzetti. He covered yesterday's Senate testimony in the Armed Services Committee for the New York Times. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
These revelations that senior officials were involved in drafting the techniques and coming up with the strategies and tactics, how much of a surprise was this?
Well, it's a surprise because all we had really known up to this point was that these senior lawyers at the Pentagon signed off on these methods in late 2002 and even advised Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to approve the methods. What we didn't know was that about 6 months earlier, they were kind of actively seeking out a whole new interrogation program, ways to get information out of people that because the current methods weren't working. So they sought out techniques that had actually been used and are still used on U.S. pilots, trained them to sort of withstand captivity. So these were the things that were kind of reverse engineered to then use on detainees in American custody.
So the model for the techniques that came up at the hearings yesterday were the techniques to develop resistance in American pilots. They would basically, I guess you wouldn't say fake torture them, but they would try aggressive techniques out on American pilots, and they decided to use some of those on Iraqi prisoners.
That's correct. I mean, we've heard a lot in the last few years about waterboarding. Waterboarding actually comes from this program. It's called the SEER program, which the Navy has until recently used on its pilots to train them in case, you know, they get captured, and it teaches them how to withstand sort of the rigors of captivity.
Did you see the testimony of Irma Grainer, who is the mother of an Army Reserve Specialist, yesterday?
I did not see that testimony.
This is one of the people who testified about her relative, her son, and I wanted to get your reaction to one of the things she told the Senate committee.
You know, it's the higher ups. It should be on trial, just as well as my son is. But they let the little guys take the fall for them.
She is speaking to the media, but there's this idea, and certainly among military families, that it is the little guys who take the fall on these questions of torture. How did the hearing make that clearer yesterday?
Well, it was, I think, the first hearing to really point a finger at pretty senior people within the Defense Department for involvement in all of these episodes. There's been more than a dozen Pentagon reports, investigations looking, you know, post Abu Ghraib to look into this stuff. And most of them have really sort of stopped the blame at relatively junior officers and enlisted people in the military. This one actually looks higher and does have some documentary evidence that shows pretty senior people were involved in developing some of the techniques.
Including Rumsfeld, right?
Well, it does not actually. There are documents that we've known about for some time that sort of showed how Rumsfeld signed off on some of these techniques.
Right.
And there was not yesterday as hard as the senators tried to get out of Jim Haynes, who was Mr. Rumsfeld's lawyer, what Mr. Rumsfeld knew and when he knew it. It was not incredibly illuminating yesterday what Mr.
Right.
Rumsfeld's role
right.
was.
I just want to get that Rumsfeld detail. Go ahead, Nora.
Mark, you mentioned there have been a dozen reports, and there's certainly been a cloud of confusion exactly how this chain of command has worked in terms of the orders of torture. Isn't it a bit of a bombshell that the CIA and the Pentagon were actually working together in some capacity as opposed to working side by side or rather in parallel universes as has been suggested in the past?
Yeah, that was actually, I think, one of the most interesting things about yesterday and what we've devoted a lot of our story to this morning. It had long been thought that the development of the CIA detention interrogation program and the Pentagon's techniques were pretty much in parallel, but that there were sort of two different streams where it happened. But what we learned yesterday was that there was actually a lot more coordination going on than we had thought. There was specifically a meeting in October 2002 down at Guantanamo Bay where actually a CIA lawyer is brought in to discuss what interrogation methods work, what don't work, some of the legal concerns, some of the things they need to worry about in developing some of these aggressive techniques. So it actually shows there was a lot more commingling between the CIA and the Pentagon than we had ever known.
Well, Mark Mazzetti, a New York Times reporter covering the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing yesterday, it's clear lawyers were running the show, and we should point out that some lawyers were also warning against these techniques, and that also came up with the hearing. Mark, thanks very much for joining us.